One of the interesting dimensions of John and his work is that it in many respects harkens back to many of the ideas that were discussed during periods like the Enlightenment and others, when fundamental concepts were being explored and people were willing to ask new questions. Our distinguished group of speakers have sketched us a picture of a very unique man, a man of integrity, a man of intellect, a man of vision, a man of compassion, a man of humility, and far more. John received his bachelor's degree from Yale University and his MA in law from Oxford University, where he was a Rhodes Scholar. As you know, he's internationally renowned for 50 years as the pioneer of modern global investment. He was decorated Knight Order of the British Empire and Knight of St. John. In 1972, John created the annual Templeton Prize on Progress in Religion. The title is not a prize on religion. The title is Progress on Religion. And the idea was to recognize frontier thinking that would add to humanity's knowledge of itself. Past recipients have included Mother Teresa, that she received the Templeton Prize years before she received the Nobel Prize. Others included Alexander Solzhenitsyn, physicist Paul Davies, Michael Novak, Inamula Khan, and this year, of course, Sigmund Sternberg. John was the founder of Templeton College of Management at Oxford University. He's received honorary degrees from many universities. His articles have appeared in newspapers and magazines worldwide. He's the author and editor of 12 books. A founding member of the International Society of Financial Analysts, John has been a member of many groups, some of which have been mentioned tonight, and far more. I'm very pleased and honored to introduce our honoree tonight, Sir John Marks Templeton.
My friends, my dear friends, I think you will all agree with me that there are few joys in life so great as seeing old friends again. This evening has been a tremendous joy for me, and I hope for every one of you, to get together again and enjoy friendship. Enjoy helping each other, especially helping each other in the great enterprise of bringing freedom and free competition for the benefit of the people in every nation. What has been said tonight is extremely heartwarming, of course, but it also makes me feel very, very humble. I do not deserve the wonderful things that you have said. You deserve them. It's the people here who have been tremendous leaders and innovators in bringing blessings to the world. All over this room are people who are doing things far more wonderful than I have been able to do. I do believe that you are the heroes. I believe that you are the benefactors of religion, the benefactors of humanity. And I believe that you are carrying out God's purposes. It's always been one of the great mysteries. Why did God create humans? Surely, it was not just accidental. Surely, there is some purpose. And you, especially many of you in this room, are illustrating that God's creation of humans has been very beneficial. Humans, more than ever before, are being able to accelerate God's ongoing creativity. And one of the magics of how you accelerate creativity is freedom. Free competition. Throughout all the ages, centuries, and even millennia, humans lived under dictatorship. Individualism was practically unknown. Free competition was not accepted. And only about 200 years ago, when that professor of moral philosophy, Adam Smith, wrote his great book called An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of Wealth, that we first understood in a few nations what could happen if human beings, God's children, exercised their God-given talents in creative ways. And to make it brief, I've calculated that from the time that book was published, roughly two centuries ago, the output of goods and services on Earth, the whole Earth, has multiplied over 100-fold. Now, back through history, it appears that it took 1,000 years to double the world's production. But in the two centuries after Adam Smith, it has multiplied 100-fold total world production. So that illustrates in a simple way what you people are doing. What you are doing is a tremendous blessing. It's a recognition that we all have blessings. We need to recognize that we are living in the most glorious period of all world history. In almost every area of life, you can see how much has been accomplished by free competition. For example, half of all the books ever written were published in the last 50 years. Half of all the discoveries ever made were made in the last 50 years. Half of all the knowledge in medicine has been discovered just in the last 15 years. The amount of knowledge on Earth took 1,000 years to double, but now some experts in knowledge say that knowledge is doubling every 3 years. Some say faster than that. But suppose knowledge continues to double every 3 years. I predict it will accelerate. But even if it just continues to double every 3 years, a little arithmetic will show you that in only 30 years, you'll have 1,000 times as much information as you have today. And in 60 years, you'll have 1,000,000 times as much information as you have now. Now, as I will conclude in a few minutes, let's all think how much new additional spiritual information will we have in the next 60 years. Even I can't possibly hope that we'll have 1,000,000 times as much spiritual information, but I believe if it's possible for us to stimulate people of all religions everywhere to be enthusiastic about new things, that we can possibly increase spiritual information over 100-fold. Now that's a bold statement, because there has been very little increase in total spiritual information since the great scriptures were written 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 years ago. And one of the reasons is that that type of progress has not been rewarded by any major religion. Medical doctors who come out with new discoveries are rapidly rewarded and honored. But in all my years as chairman of one of the largest Presbyterian seminary, we had brilliant people on the faculty but they came out with almost nothing truly original, not intentionally, not lack of brilliance, but it was just not expected of them. And if they had come out with really radical new concepts, it would not have helped their career. They would have been thought of as out of step, maybe heretics. Now, I believe that's false and can be reversed, and that the great gift we have from God of freedom for the first time in the history of humanity, freedom, the ability for each person to invent new ideas and new products, is going to spread into the field of spiritual information. That probably no person has ever yet understood even 1% of the totality of God, the vastness of God, the complexity of God. But it's possible, by the gifts God has given us in freedom, that perhaps as quickly as 100 years from now, we may know 100 times as much about God as we know now. Now, one of the small benefits from that is likely to be an elimination of religious wars. Throughout history, there have been numerous wars that were blamed on religion, but that was because people were so egotistical that they thought they had the total truth. If you think you have the total truth, and somebody comes to you with a different idea, it's your duty to convert him or kill him, as often happened. But if you can be humble, if you can be truly humble, admit that no human being has yet known even 1% of the totality of God, then when a heretic comes to you, you say, "Wonderful, how generous of you to share your new idea with me. Please tell me, I want to learn, I know so little." Now that will be a tremendous benefit. I believe a benefit as great as what happened after Adam Smith, when the output of goods in the world multiplied 100-fold in only 200 years. And I admire David and Mary Thoreau. I admire all of you, but I admire David and Mary Thoreau for what they are doing. It's totally unselfish. It's remarkably efficient. I think you can just see from this evening alone how amazing a small organization can be in bringing together marvelous people so that we learn from each other. And I certainly intend to continue to make contributions every year to the Independent Institute. And I believe that the very few ways that you can help humanity so great as to spread the benefits of the concept of free competition, and one of the great organizations worldwide that is now spreading that concept is the Independent Institute. So it's an honor for me and a joy to participate in their work, to learn more about their work, and I feel you all share in that information. Now, one of the things that the Mary and David are doing, and that many of you also are doing, is to point out the misunderstandings about free competition. It's not difficult to show that free competition has expanded production, but there's still large numbers of intelligent people who think that free competition favors the rich. They think that in order to make the world a just and loving place, you must equalize people. When I was at Oxford long ago, about half of all the Oxford students thought that the world would be saved by communism. And I believe about two-thirds of the faculty at Oxford University in those ancient days believed the same thing. And there was a period within your lifetime when it was come and go, toss up the coin as to whether the world future was dependent on the attitudes of communism or on freedom. But look what's happened. Look what's happened in such a short time. You have won. No longer is there any question that freedom has won this this long contest, a mental contest, a military contest between dictatorship and freedom. We should be overwhelmingly grateful that for the first time in all world history, most nations live under freedom. In fact, I think until just 15 years ago, you could not have made that statement. And it may accelerate because that's what God wants. We don't know why God created the universe or created the earth, but it appears from many things that it was to accelerate creativity. Creativity seems to be a type of God, a part of God. So why did he create humans? As far as we know, there was never any creation before who had the brains and the consciousness and the ability to think about themselves that humans have. And so humans may have been created to be helpers in accelerating God's creativity. And I think you can see it all around you, that creativity is accelerating. For example, already, and totally unexpected, I couldn't conceivably have predicted this when I was younger, but already humans are inventing intelligences greater than human intelligence. Already, there are numerous computers available that can do mathematical and factual studies and analysis far beyond human ability. Now, I do not foresee the day when they will surpass humans in love or compassion or worship, but still, it's illuminating to me to think that humans may have been created to be helpers, to be servants in God's accelerating creativity. Now, as I've said, not everybody realizes this, and so I hope that you will continue, as you are doing already, to show people, not only in America, but all over the world, how great is the benefit of free competition. Free competition not only enriches the poor, but free competition has proved to be the greatest teacher of ethics. Let's take first the question of enriching the poor. People think it enriches the rich, but study the history of the poor people. Take right now a study published by the Department of Census in America last week, showing the 1/5 of the people in America who are the poorest. And you look at those figures and you find that the living space of the average 1/5 of the poorest people in America is 4 times as great as the average living space of all people in Russia, rich and poor. You also find from these statistics on American poor that the number of automobiles owned by those poor in America is greater than the total number of automobiles owned by all the people of Russia, China, Cuba, and North Korea. So that tells you something about what freedom can accomplish materially. But what's even greater is what freedom can accomplish spiritually. Now, what does it accomplish spiritually? I am a great believer in using simple practicality. I made a study for 55 years of literally thousands of corporations to decide which one was the best bargain for my clients to put their money in. And I observed clearly that in order to be successful, you must be spiritual. You must exhibit spirituality. For example, under free competition, now not under dictatorship, but under free competition, if you do not give your customer better quality and lower prices, he'll go to your competitor. If you do not give your employees better living conditions, more opportunities for advancement, they'll go to your competitors. And if you do not create for yourself and your organization a reputation for total honesty and reliability, you lose your customers. So if you really ever expect your organization to be lastingly, not temporarily, but lastingly successful, it must be founded on ethics. So I hope you can convince the people who do not yet see that picture that free competition is probably the greatest teacher of ethics the world has yet found. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. I believe, I'll make a prediction, that is in shorter time as one century, we will know 100 times as much about God as anybody has ever known before. And I believe that many of you will be helpers, participants in that increased understanding of spiritual information. So finally, my friends, I love you. I love every one of you. I love you to an unlimited extent. I love you without exception. I try my best to love every human being without any exception. And I think you share that viewpoint with me. And if you do that, all other things seem to fall in place. Success comes to you, happiness comes to you, wealth comes to you, if you genuinely try your level best to love every human being to an unlimited extent without any exception. And so tonight, dear friends, I look forward to living enough longer after age 85 that I can attend a great banquet to express the wonderful things that you have done to help freedom and religion. Thank you.
In the spirit of love and gratitude, it gives me great pleasure to present an award which is named after Alexis de Tocqueville, the brilliant 19th century classical liberal political philosopher, author of the extremely influential book Democracy in America. John is the fourth recipient of the award. It's not an award we give every year, but it's an award that in many respects is defined for John. And I'd like to simply say that in deep appreciation for and recognition of your outstanding global contributions in advancing business excellence, free market entrepreneurship, education, moral principles, and economic and social welfare, and your unwavering dedication to the principles of individual liberty as the foundations of free and humane societies, we very proudly present the Alexis de Tocqueville Award.
Thank you. I will try to live better in order to deserve what you have done and said tonight. I love you, and God bless you all.
We have some questions that people have, but it's getting late, I'm afraid. And our program has run a little bit longer than we had planned. So if those that were asking questions will excuse my skipping them, John will be here and can answer them. And I want to thank again everyone who's been involved in the program this evening, especially you who have taken your time and have been generous in participating with us this evening. Again, please feel free to take the gifts with you that were at your table, and we look forward to the chance of your joining with us at a future Institute event. Thank you for joining with us.